From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. I don't need to tell you the weather was wet and cold this weekend. A flood watch was issued across the Sacramento Valley and the Delta, and the forecast also called for feet of snow up in the Cascades and the Sierra. Depending on where you are, things might have started out a bit tame today, but that may quickly change. More storms are headed our way. Adam Epstein is the chief meteorologist at Fox 40, and he joins us with a recap of the last 72 hours, as well as what's in store this week. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Vicky. Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome. Okay, so big picture, because we're talking about a really large area. How did this weekend stack up to what was forecasted?
So in the Valley, we may have seen what would be considered an underwhelming event. We saw around a quarter inch to an inch of rain. I was thinking it would be maybe closer to 2 inches of rain in Sacramento, 3 inches of rain for areas a little bit farther to the north. So rain-wise, maybe underwhelming. And the snow was always interesting because this was a warmer system. It came from the west that pulled in warmer air, so that would lead to very high snow levels. So in areas where you tend to see snow, like Donner Summit, it actually changed over to rain over the weekend, and that was expected. The question was, like, how much snow could we get before that changeover happened? And it turns out in the Sierra, it was around 5 to 14 inches of snow, and the forecast was 4 to 12. So that worked out nicely. But having rain in that area isn't ideal for the snowpack because it washes some of the snow away, for recreation because obviously powder doesn't like rain and wet conditions. But the snow is going to come back this week.
Were there any areas of localized flooding, even though it was underwhelming in some parts of the valley?
Yeah, so in the foothills, that's where the forecast actually verified pretty well. I was thinking up to 10 inches of rain for places near Blue Canyon
Oh, wow.
And La Porte, yeah, by Plumas County. And we saw areas there near 9 inches of rain. So in the foothills, above 3,000 feet in elevation, a tremendous amount of rain, and farther north, north of Yuba City, north of Marysville, that's where the rain totals were more impressive.
When I think about 9 or 10 inches of rainfall in a short period of time, I mean, that could be problematic or hazardous.
Exactly. And that's why the National Weather Service issued that flood watch. And there's actually another flood watch that goes into effect for this upcoming system. And right now we're in a lull. It's a brief break, but tonight into tomorrow morning, the rain's going to come back. And there is potential for flooding once again, especially in the foothills.
End of last month, December, it was pretty active, and weather-wise at least, but it's been really dry the first few weeks of the year. I know we have some more systems headed our way, but what did this weekend do for kind of boosting up what we need for, you know, for winter?
Yeah, so in Sacramento, the water year, which begins October 1st, this is like when we get into our wet season, so that's when it begins. It was off to a good start, a little slow the first month, but December was productive, and then January started and the tap turned off.
Yeah.
It was almost completely dry through January until the last day when the storm started and over the weekend. So we did pick up a decent amount of rain, around a quarter inch in Sacramento. It's respectable, but it's not much. And we're still behind normal by almost 2 inches of rain in Sacramento for the water year, but we can definitely pick that up. There's still time. So we have December, January, and February. Those are statistically the three wettest months of the year for us in Sacramento. So February is going to be telling, and it really comes down to atmospheric rivers. That's what makes or breaks a water year. That's what makes or breaks snowpack in the Sierra. So if we get lucky and we get atmospheric rivers that line up, one or two productive ones could change our whole story. But if we don't see them, that's when problems arise. So we still have more work to do in terms of the water year and where the numbers are right now. But we're not in a concerning place. This time of the year, being a couple inches behind is no big deal.
Okay. Was last weekend an atmospheric river?
Yes. So this is an atmospheric river. And on average, California gets 5 to 6 per year. But there are exceptions. In 2024, there were 43 that impacted
43?
California. But not all of them are strong, right? They get ratings from 1 to 5. 5 being stronger, 1 having minimal impact.
Kind of like hurricanes.
Kind of.
Tornadoes.
Yeah. So the stronger atmospheric rivers, they come down to two factors. It's the length of time they impact and how much water vapor is included. So you could have a lot of water vapor over a short period of time, and that can be considered strong. Or you could have a long period of time with very little water vapor, and that can be considered weak. In 2023, there were 38 and 2 strong ones. And there were 9 of them in just a span of 3 weeks. You might remember this. This was just after Christmas into the start of the new year. And it was an extremely rainy, snowy period of time. So those are the strength, like that's what an atmospheric river can do. That's the capability of being able to impact a water year. In a very short period of time, it just changes the whole scenery of the Sierra and what our water year is looking like.
So quantity isn't really the key, it's quality.
Yes, right. So if you have 50 atmospheric rivers, but they're all weak, then it may not be much of an impact. So quality definitely matters.
Okay, so we're talking around lunchtime on Monday. What are you tracking for the rest of the week?
Yeah, so there are two more storms that we're looking at. The next one is part of the atmospheric river that we've been experiencing. Right now, it's shifted just to the north. That's why we're in this dry break where it's still cloudy, but not seeing any rain. And then it's going to shift back to the south tonight into tomorrow morning. And this time, we could see another 1 to 3 inches of rain throughout the valley, up to 6 inches of rain in the foothills. And in the Sierra, this is key. Since it's coming back from the north, it's going to pull in colder air with it. So no longer are we looking at rain in the Sierra, it's going to be snow. And I'm thinking 2 to 3 feet of snow falls around Donner Summit with this tonight, tomorrow system. And after that, there'll be a brief break and another storm comes by.
Okay.
And it's going to be cold enough to produce a good amount of snow too in the Sierra. It could be another 1 to 3 feet. That's going to be Thursday into early Friday.
Okay. So back to back, it seems like we're getting some brief periods of respite, but really it's just going to be an active weather week, and that can vary depending if you're in the valley, to the foothills, or the Sierra. So how do you want people to prepare for this week?
Preparation-wise, in the valley, there's not much you need to do. I mean, it's rain in winter, right? It's what we hope for. It's what we wish to expect. In the foothills, there is more potential for flooding. There is that flood watching effect for the valley and the foothills. So if you know of any flood-prone areas, probably going to see some ponding on the roads, could see some flooding. National Weather Service advises that creeks and streams may get to their banks and slightly overflow. So the common suspects, those areas in your towns, your neighborhoods that you know may always flood, you know, that could happen. And in urban areas, you get ponding on the streets, right? So hydroplaning becomes a concern. Watch out for that. If you go too fast, there's not good tread on your tires, then all of a sudden you can run into some issues.
Are you forecasting strong winds? Because that really can be a make or break situation when you're talking about winter systems.
Vicky, that is an excellent point. I'm glad you brought that up because some atmospheric rivers, the ones that you probably remember most, have strong winds and wind damage. Trees come down, there are power outages, just very nasty and can be dangerous to be outside. Yes, it will be breezy for the next 24 hours, but not dangerously so. I'm thinking in Sacramento, gusts 20 to 30 miles per hour. Get into the higher elevations, that's where wind speeds could be a bit faster. But generally, 40 to 45 miles per hour is what's strong enough to take down trees. And that's when you have to start worrying about power outages. If they fall on power lines, yeah, that's where the problems come. So it'll be breezy in Sacramento and surrounding area, but nothing out of the ordinary.
Okay, well, nothing out of the ordinary actually sounds like a good thing when we're talking about winds. If you're going to be driving over the mountain passes over the weekend, there were chain controls. Mm-hmm. What does driving look like with these couple of systems that we're expecting this week?
Right. So pretty much anytime you get snow, get chain controls. We had chain controls in effect Friday night when this last system started, but then it changed over to rain over the weekend. So driving may have been a bit easier. And now with more snow, it's going to be worse. So tonight, tomorrow, probably having chain controls. There'll probably be delays driving up and down 80 towards Tahoe and back. It's exactly what you'd expect with a winter storm there. If you're not experienced driving in the snow, I'd advise maybe waiting until this one's over, and you'll have that break, it seems like, on Wednesday, which should be maybe a day where we even see some sunshine.
If you are looking towards the weekend because you enjoy recreating in the snow, you want to ski, you want to snowboard, what have you, what does the weekend look like?
Weekend actually is looking pretty good. So obviously the farther out in the forecast you get, there's less clarity, less confidence in the forecast. That's what we call a lead time. So we're going out to days 6 and 7, and the forecast may not be quite as reliable. But what I am seeing here is that it dries out by the weekend. So you could have the storm that gets here Thursday into early Friday, dumps a ton of snow, and then it dries out Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and this is exactly what the ski resorts pray for, right? They love those midweek, late week storms, and then it's done by the weekend. So everyone, everyone can get up there and start skiing and snowboarding.
Yeah, I think, is that called a bluebird day?
You're right. When there's no clouds in the sky, call that a bluebird day.
Okay, well, that is nice. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Fox 40 Chief Meteorologist Adam Epstein about the ongoing atmospheric river, which is affecting Northern California. Okay, so I said that in the singular. So we have a couple systems heading our way. Is this still the same atmospheric river moving through our area?
Yes. So right now, the atmospheric river that impacted us over the weekend is just to the north, and it does come back to the south tonight into tomorrow.
There's also talk around this time, La Nina, El Nino. Are we in either of those?
Yeah, so there's not a strong signal at the moment. And when it comes to ENSO, El Nino Southern Oscillation, that's El Nino, La Nina, or neutral. Here in northern central California, we're in a unique place where we don't get a strong signal for above or below normal precipitation for either one. So maybe some years you get above normal precipitation in El Nino, but some years you don't. There are other places in the country where it's like, okay, we're in El Nino, this is great for us, expect a lot of rain and snow. We're just not one of those places. So when I look at the oscillations of El Nino and La Nina, it's not as important for us. It may lean towards wetter conditions for our neighbors in Oregon and Washington, but here in Sacramento, it's just not as big of a deal.
Yeah, and we have such a large region that you got to forecast. I mean, up to the Oregon border, to northern Nevada, through the valley, down towards Yosemite, and California has such variable climate and weather from one year to the next. It's difficult to predict. What stands out to you about modeling and forecasting this region? You've been doing it now for several years.
Yeah, so I've noticed that there are certain patterns that reoccur at about the same time each year, and that's pretty fascinating to me. I take notes when I forecast, and I verify my forecast and make sure everything's going well. And when things go wrong, I want to know why. I try to understand why. Modeling-wise, what stands out to me is that, yeah, the models do a pretty decent job given that the weather comes from the west in the Pacific. So other parts of the country have an advantage when it comes to forecasting because we have radars on land, and you get high-quality data from those radars as storms approach. So if you're in a place like New York and a storm's moving from west to east across the country, it starts 3,000 miles away, you get high-quality, precise data all the way until it gets there. But for us on the West Coast, out in the Pacific, it's a whole lot of nothing. So we get no radar data. There are no radars in the Pacific. We just have what we can tell from the upper atmosphere. And once the storms get closer to the coast, get within radar range, that data input tends to increase. But models still generally do a pretty good job with projecting timing. As far as totals go, there are some instances where models get a little bit trigger happy because Sierra and the mountain forecasting models don't handle extremely well. That's a topography issue. So in areas where it's really flat, models are like, okay, everything's at this elevation, no problem, same principles, same physical properties go across the whole region. But when you have mountains and a terrain like this, it's much harder for models to actually model that and to picture that in their calculations and their formulas to get the snow totals. So you may see sometimes people post online, on social media, like, oh, look at all the snow that's coming. And it's just one model run. And it can be like outrageous, out to lunch. So I never, ever post model runs. I will only post my forecast. And if I post a model run, I will explicitly say what it is and if I believe these numbers are accurate or if they could be overshooting or undershooting.
Yeah, I mean, so of course there's these uncertainties as I'm learning from you out in the Pacific Ocean. You're also forecasting, when you're talking about topography from sea level all the way up to like 8,000 plus in elevation. So this weekend, although it looks like it could be a nice bluebird day, you know, it's the jury's still kind of out, right? So what uncertainties are you going to be focusing on this week? Because it's going to be a pretty active week.
Yeah, definitely the focus of the week isn't the calmer conditions, it's the storms that are coming. So when I get into work later this afternoon, I'll be focusing on the timing of the start of this upcoming system, which is sometime this evening or tonight, depending on where you are, and the updated totals. So when I was looking this morning, I was thinking 1 to 3 inches of rain in the valley, 2 to 6 in the foothills, and then 2 to 3 feet of snow in the Sierra. So I'll try to fine tune that and go over specific locations of who could see what and exactly the timing of it. And past that, the focus would be on the second storm that's going to be around Thursday and how much snow there. because the snow is so important for us. Whether you ski or snowboard, you should still care about this snow because it is our reservoir. It's our hidden frozen reservoir.
Yes, a third of our water needs.
Exactly. About 30% of our water needs comes from the Sierra. So it doesn't matter if you like to play in the snow. We all use that water at some point. It also really matters for fire season too, because once we get into spring and summer, we want that snow to gradually melt so it can keep everything saturated, keep the soil saturated, keep plants alive, vegetation alive, so that fire season doesn't start sooner. The more gradual that melts, the more we can put off fire season. So that's also a key for the snowpack and why we don't want it to all melt at once. It can kind of cause flooding if that happens, and then everything dries out sooner too.
Right. And this is my last question. We only have about a minute left. I've covered a lot of snow surveys with Department of Water Resources, DWR. April 1st, of course, is that key marker of what we're looking like, you know, for the upcoming year with water needs. And we're a little bit shy of where we should be on average historically for this time of year. Mm-hmm. I know you don't have a crystal ball. You're a meteorologist, but how do you think this winter is shaping up and will shape up after this week?
Well, Vicky, I was just looking at the numbers this morning. So statewide, we're at 69% of normal snowpack throughout the Sierra for this time of the year. The Northern Sierra has been carrying our weight. Southern Sierra has been really struggling. It's been very dry there. And it's, like I mentioned when we started talking, atmospheric rivers making or breaking the water year and the snowpack. So these couple of atmospheric rivers coming our way, or the one coming up now over the next 24 hours, and then on Thursday, Friday, that storm will really help. And those numbers will jump. But past that, like you said, I don't have the crystal ball. I don't know what will happen. And anyone that tells you they do know what will happen, they're lying to you.
So we just got to keep watching. Adam, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me here.
That is Fox 40 Chief Meteorologist Adam Epstein talking about the ongoing atmospheric river, which is affecting Northern California through the Cascades and the Sierra. Up next, an Elk Grove bookstore and coffee shop has been a welcoming and safe space for the queer community in the Sacramento region. We'll learn more about A Seat at the Table books. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.